Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio and to the Sum of Us, that sources unlimited magic. Was it magic? Miracles? Mayhem? I don't know. Hi, my name is Alisa.
And my name is Liz. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
It's just been a crazy, crazy day, but I want to prioritize this. If I'm not mistaken, I want to acknowledge our dear friend, Marguerite. I believe today is her daughter Courtney's birthday. I hope I'm right. But just wanted to acknowledge, and we'll pull a message at some point, inspired by that. And then the other thing is, unfortunately, this is a busy week, busier than normal last week and this week. And I won't be able to, unfortunately, I won't be able to do the show this coming Thursday because I have to have a very early appointment. So hopefully you can still do the show in whatever way makes sense to you with Anna, or maybe on your own, or don't get too comfortable though. I'll be listening. I'll be like, what are you going to do? You're going to be saying, call in. We need to replace Liz. Try out.
No, I'll have to see. Anna is in Hawaii right now. So that's probably
how unfortunate.
I know.
What a shame.
It's tough.
Oh,
it's tough.
It's tough, yeah. That's great. Good for her.
Yeah, she's visiting her brother, so I will.
That's beautiful.
I will probably skip Thursday unless someone really wants to do the show
better
with me.
I'm kidding. That's right. You better skip.
It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to talk by myself for an hour.
Other people can do it. Like Anna has no problem doing it. I can't do it.
Anna has a whole flow going.
There's a lot of really good podcasts out there that it's just solo, single person format,
mm-hmm.
and they do it beautifully. Like Michael Moore his podcast is amazing, and it's just him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no.
I guess if I just talked, but I recorded it and edited it, but doing it live is
that's a lot of work. Let's just skip the show.
Yeah. So.
Okay. No show Thursday.
On Thursday, unless I get really crazy and decide to do something, but I doubt it.
Well, you could.
I could.
But. Yeah, but no. Not too much going on. Why take that on?
We'll see. So Marguerite is in the chat, and she said, yes, it is. She would have been 39.
Okay.
So
wow. Okay, so she's in the chat. So let's do that. That's
okay.
Courtney's birthday card.
Okay.
39, wow. My goodness. Let me just tell you when it's loaded. Okay, up and loaded, so Marguerite, you know the drill. All right, I'm ready. Okay, so it's a single digit number, and that number is, this makes perfect sense, 6-1. And here's a message: to sit with contrast and allow its message to penetrate all energetic layers of conscious and subconscious awareness is how it can serve you now. I'm going to read it again. To sit with contrast and allow its message to penetrate all energetic layers, conscious and subconscious awareness is how it can serve you now. So we can look at contrast in many different ways. It could be the contrast of dealing with the incomprehensible situation of celebrating your child's birthday and they're not here. And then to boot, you had to lose another incomprehensible. That is contrast, but there's no words for that. It doesn't mean contrast is bad. It just means it is. Doesn't mean life is bad. It just means life is. So when you're sitting with contrast, or we could say you're sitting with that hand, you're dealt. And you were dealt a doozy, our Marguerite. And then the message of that grace and that you're here for whatever reason that you may not even know why until you're no longer here, and that you have the grace. And I know I have a sense of you energetically that you just let it do what it needs to do. That's how it's serving you now, even if it doesn't make sense. I hope I'm making sense. 61 is the number.
Well, we do go from the six of love and family and wanting to be there and supportive and all
the
of
mother.
That. The mothering mm-hmm. number.
Yeah.
To the one. And it really does track with when the overall number there is a seven, right? About
yep.
doing the internal work, the deeper unseen work that isn't normally shared with a lot of people. It's just going within, but it has an effect because the basis, it starts with love. It starts with that six, and the one is then a reminder of the self too, and that as much as you want to do for others, if you don't do for you, then you're severely limited in scope and in the impact, a positive impact, I guess, because you can still have an impact. Just, you know, it might not be what you're hoping for. And the seven allows you to sort of showing me like that you're elevating and you're going deeper. So you can do that at the same time. It's kind of strange, the dynamics, because we can't look at it from just a linear point of view. And so when we look, even in describing these things, there's contrast. And I love how you said it. It just is. The contrast isn't, it's not about good or bad. It just is. It lets you see what you normally would not have seen, because there are differences that you can now notice. It's not that you did it, and it's not that, you know, it's not like a need to do a whodunit mystery. It's just, this is what it is in the beginning. Now, it depends on what kind of questions you want to ask. And that is also just, again, your free choice of how you deal with contrast, the questions you ask, the things that you want to know, the things that are you're questioning. So the numbers say, you know, lead with love, go within, and then also see where, you know, what your priorities are when it comes to then going back out to the world, when you eventually want to make that move or just be in the world, be seen. Sevens don't necessarily want to be in the middle of everything, but they do live in a world where that's going to happen. And I guess to the degree that you have taken really good care of yourself and you know, done the internal work to process as you can, then what you end up sharing with others again, your choice. Whether you, here's the thing, they're saying even as you share it, you might think, oh, I'm not saying anything, but sometimes you're not saying anything is something being shared. And there are other ways to communicate. There are other ways to connect with people. And feels like that's just a reminder for me as well. So, yeah, the message is a, it's like a teaching. It's like a teaching message. a teaching message for teachers, you know, teachers and students. It's just something that you have to still do the work. Always you're doing the work. But how you go about it, I feel like with those numbers says, you know, please remember to be kind to yourself, to always look within before you keep going, you know, outside of yourself to try to soothe other people. And I know a lot of people do that as a way to help themselves. But eventually you have to make that connection. Oh, yeah, she's like, uplifting message, very fitting. Thank you.
Oh, yes, well, you know, always. We're dedicating the show, always, to Courtney, to you, and the grace that you just have on a cellular level, because what choice do you have, really, you know? And here we are with another day. That's it. What are we going to do? So we love you, and acknowledgement is very important. So I wanted to start the show with that.
Cool. Wow.
You know, yeah, there's so much disregard and people talk about being nose blind, and nose blind is like, oh, that person's home has a particular smell, but they're so used to it that they don't smell what people coming, you know, from the outside smell, right? Mm-hmm. Nose blind. Mm-hmm. Well, people can be like just blind to, like, energetically blind, just
right.
Not even aware, or blind to someone's grief, or, well, you know, they've been gone for a minute. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, they don't understand that there's an energetic maiming which took place, you know, and there's an energetic burn victim. There's an energetic amputation to that condition, and to shut off parts of the brain that just can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just real. And because people will have a deep-rooted fear that they feel if they ignore it or avoid it or deny it, that somehow they won't be affected, or that they're immune. Nobody's immune to anything. And I'm not saying this to be negative at all. On the contrary, no place on this earth is technically safe. Does that mean live in fear? No, it means what's for you will show up. In this case, this makes no kind of sense. I've given up for things to make sense. I've managed to come up with, to maintain sanity, that, well, life is about every type of possibility. Not every possibility is rainbows and unicorns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the unspeakable exists in the realm of possibilities. So for whatever chapter, whatever lifetime we're in, I actually thought about Marguerite the other day. I think about her a lot. But the other day particularly, because I don't know if I was scrolling on Instagram. I don't know where I found this. But it's like five signs that you have lived many lifetimes or whatever. And, of course, I thought of Marguerite you know, we both passed with flying colors, but I can't remember. It was like five things. Like one, you are very, very compassionate and very empathetic and affected by the suffering of others, the suffering in the world. Can't remember what were the you. What's another one? You feel like you want to go home, but this isn't it. And there were three others. I don't remember, but it was like check, 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 check. And I'm like, Marguerite could check these too. Mm-hmm. But it was about being a healer. All these things that just really made sense. Very interesting. So you've, Marguerite, and this is a comforting statement because you're past comfort. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in the most respectful way, the way that I really see you. Comfort at this point is low rent in the way that it's the platitudes and the, you know, thoughts and prayers. We're like mm-hmm. so past that. But more in that, do have really been a profoundly old soul that has been here many, 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 many times. Oh, another one I remember of the five, that you've experienced quite a bit of trauma in this particular lifetime. Like, check, 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 check. You know, you have been through quite a bit of excessive trauma in this lifetime. So it's having a lot of trauma in the incarnation that you're in, the compassion, the empathy, that's like next level. And then the three others, and they'll come to me, they won't come to me, doesn't matter. But, that you you want to go home, and then there's two others. So I remember three out of the five. But that's really what it is, too. It's like amount of trauma. And then it made me think today when I was telling myself, okay, you want to lead with acknowledging Courtney's birthday, you know, and you think about the just incomprehensible, and I don't want to get really go down the rabbit hole, but just to make the illustrate the point, where maybe in the parts of the world where there's so much craziness and suffering, you know, in the Middle East, Africa, so many places, parts of Europe. These are traditionally very old places. Now, things happen in America, but we're young. Mm-hmm. And it made me think, well, maybe collectively these incomprehensible things are happening at a mass level because all these souls are in this lifetime because they're done. So we're going to finish strong. I'm not making light of it, but you know, mm-hmm. we want to take our brains that are stuck here, in this, you know, this field of this plane of existence being in the tangible earthbound plane that makes you think. And then I say, and I don't mean it cynically at all. It's no place is safe. And I really, again, we don't want to get into current events too much, but it really struck me, I think it was last week, where in one of the most civilized parts of the planet, in Finland, a 12-year-old had a relative's gun and, you know, opened fire. Thank God the laws are so civil. For a 12-year-old, there's no criminal, there's no nothing. They just get go into the custody of social services and they get help and whatever. Because this child is screwed for the rest of their life just because of that trauma. So thank goodness they're not going to be, you know, incarcerated or tried as an adult or whatever. I don't even think that would happen for a 12-year-old in this country. But I feel that there'll be more conscious consideration for this child, you know, who has only developed neurologically, you know, so far, but like the last time there was like any sort of violence like that, it was like 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, in America, it's like every 5 minutes there's somebody has a gun and is having a party. So no place is safe. Doesn't mean live in fear. It means live your life, because what's for you will be for you. Does that make it any less painful? No, absolutely not. Is that a blanket statement? No, it's not either. But for whatever incomprehensible reason, the path is the path. The hand dealt is the hand dealt. It's not supposed to make perfect sense right now. I can just put a tourniquet on it, you know, so I don't lose my mind more than I have.
Hmm.
That's it, because it's crazy. And this is why we have to find the beauty in life, to counteract that crazy, counteract that pain, counteract, not to minimize it, not to deny it, but to move through it. It's crazy.
Hmm. She was typing in here. She said, when I hear thoughts and prayers, I tend to tune it out.
Exactly.
And the question,
so patronizing. Right.
And the question, how are you doing?
Please.
Sometimes it's like they are looking for me to do cartwheels. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. And it's almost like you're pushing a button. I hate this, because it's like, it's enough that you've gone through what you've gone through. And then in a way you push buttons, because it's like, well, I can't even, you know, somebody, because not me, because Marguerite and I are in, you know, I'm in a chapter of the club that, you know, she's on the board of directors that we both didn't want to be part of. But no, I can totally understand to a certain degree. And I have experienced this also, where it's almost like you're asked, just because of who you are, the awareness, and going, so what people don't understand, it's like we go dark and we go in. This is not without any effort, okay, to just navigate and to have a sense of dignity and to honor the memory of the people that we've lost, and especially our children. It's a legacy, and it's hard. And I can't speak for Marguerite, but I would venture, because I know what I do, there is so much internal private work to love the darkest parts of yourself, but that journey is far from cute, and it's so painful. And it's not a victim thing. It's a, like, okay, it's a badass thing, actually. That we can be unintentionally and unconsciously very triggering. Because people with their low rent problems, they are eclipsed by your luminosity and your grace. And they can't handle, like, the washing machine breaking down or whatever the hell. So it's we're triggering. We don't need to be, and we're not leading with the laundry list of I've been through this, and then these things. Nope. Because we're not living in victim. We're not victims. It doesn't mean that there's not chronic pain to manage, but we're managing it. How are you doing? I feel energetically it projects this film of separation. I can't relate to what you're doing, so how are you doing, thoughts and prayers? I can't relate because I don't want to, because you scare me. What you went through and what you're going through terrifies me. Of course it does. It's a terrifying experience. That's why we can have compassion, but that's why I can't speak for Lisa, but this is why I don't coddle on this show. I don't coddle as an instructor. I will love and I will show compassion, but I will not coddle, because that's separation. You're just, you know, I call you the champ. You're in that boxing ring. Shit's not easy. So happy birthday.
She typed in, the dark seeks out the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Because it's ready to go back to where it came from. So that's probably why there's a lot of energy that gets attracted, because it's an unconscious attraction. And then that's when we have to put boundaries in place, and that's why we need alone time, or that's why we need to, you know, set some boundaries so that we can go out there again and serve in whatever way works for us, but on our terms. Clarity that's coming in on a mass level. What are your terms for engagement? What are your terms? You know, if we look at the situation with you and your brother, like, what are your terms of engagement? Now, you don't have to answer the question, but I'm saying that, you know, rhetorically, that now you have terms. You're not going to succumb to the bullshit. You have terms. You know, we do terms and conditions on the, you know, on the app store. What are the terms and conditions? You go on Zoom. What are the terms and conditions? We don't read them. Right? What are the terms and conditions?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. This weekend I went to a family gathering, and I wasn't sure who was going to be there. It wasn't like an all out, like my aunt that hosted it. It's really, it was like a combination birthday for her, birthday for another one of our relatives. And then also it's because she can't make the big party for my other aunt and uncle, who are moving back to the Philippines next month. So they're having a big party early in May, and she can't make it, this aunt of mine who's hosting. So she sent a text to me and just said, you know, if you can make it, please do.
That's so sweet.
So I did. And I, you know, I knew that my aunt and the cousins were going to go, because they were making the food. They're making a lot of food. And so so I went down there. I went to pick them up, and I drove my, I guess she's my cousin, my cousin's car. These are the cousins that don't like to drive on the interstate, so they always take back roads. So
okay.
They're always happy for me to drive, because I can just get them on the interstate and save them like 30, 45 minutes.
Wow.
But it was such a fun time. Now, I was like, I wasn't sure who was going to be there. And I was thinking, oh, wow, what if, you know, what if my brother.
Oh, your brother?
And they didn't. They weren't there.
Because it's meant for you, for you. That's it. It wasn't, you know what? If you were supposed to run into him, that's really what I'm saying. What's meant for you is for you. So that's great. It wasn't meant for you to intersect with him.
Right. And so it was such a fun time to.
Oh, that's great.
To just hang out, because it was a lot of our cousins, like closer to my age. Like when we talk about the cousins, they're like all these different subsets of cousins. But these were the cousins who all have little kids like Isabel, but they're all boys.
Cute.
But they all live on that side of town, so it totally makes sense. And, you know, it was just really, we laughed. We just made,
so great.
You know, we made all these 90s references, because the cousins that I was hanging out with are about 10 years younger than I am. So, you know, they
have fun.
They are into that. You know, it was hilarious.
Right.
We did a lot of laughing. And I think everyone just had these kinds of crazy weeks. Like, we just said, we really needed this. And it was a beautiful weekend. The whole weekend was gorgeous. I mean,
nice.
You know, allergies be damned. You know, we were still out there just hanging out. And it was it was uttered by more than one person, and more than just me, by saying, I love this family. Like, they just, I just love this family. Because we get to.
Geez, that's so beautiful.
It was. It was really, really sweet. And so I felt, and the whole weekend, like, it was one, I have one Aunt Julie that was hosting, and the other Aunt Julie that I visited the next day, I drove the next morning, which was rough. Drove the next morning to visit her and spent a few hours there to say hi. And she's a beautiful woman, my Aunt Julie, but like she was glowing. I felt like she just looked incredibly beautiful. She's
so
still
lovely.
Talking about, you know, back in the day, you know, she's still talking as if she's just seen them, all these little, you know, she's talking about the very poor people, and we're trying to make sense of it. I'm like, is she just hanging out with a bunch of ghosts? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But my other aunt was trying to piece it together. She's like, I think she's talking about when she was a teacher and she had to teach out in the barrio. And they were super, super poor in those areas. And so
that's probably the case,
because she was teaching in the, and it was such a far, far away. I mean, to be out in the barrio, it just took too long. You can't commute, you know, back in that day. You had to like cross a river, you know, so you were there for the week.
Border
Buffalo.
Home on
the weekends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
No, I'm not even joking. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, probably.
Yeah.
my mom used to wait for her, like on Fridays, she'd wait for her by the bank of the river to get back home. And then they'd walk back and then, you know, So she was talking, my aunt was just, she's like, I feel so bad for them. They're so poor. And she'd say stuff like, why would God make people so pitiful like this? Like, it's just like, it really bothered her that they were, that they were just like clothes and tatters, didn't have enough to eat.
Kind of what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The incomprehensible. Like, how do we make sense of that? She's talking about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, she's losing weight. She's very thin. She doesn't eat much. And so I said, the next time we come, you know, we should just have a meal with her instead of trying to feed her, because she only eats a few bites. And she wants to make sure you need to eat too. You know, she wants to make sure everyone's eating. That's so hurt.
Yeah, a shared thing. Yeah, I think she'd like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I said, when we come back, let's do a big lunch and eat it with her. And she was telling me, if I'd known you were coming, I would have prepared something. You know, she's thinking she's gonna get back in the kitchen and cook. And I said, that's okay, Auntie.
So
it's okay. I said, but next time, you know, I really like your lumpia.
Good.
Which is true.
That's
she makes
great.
The best lumpia. They're all it's all meat. It's so good. Well, she makes good everything. A lot of my aunts do justice by the food world. So so I mean, like, on the one hand, that was a really good visit. My cousin says she's really chatty. She was really chatty today. But I also, you know, look at my cousin and see that she tries to visit her. She can't do it every day. She's like, I can't do it. I can't handle it. It's harder and harder to leave. She visits her every other day, as best she can. And, she's keeping it together. I was watching her as much as I was watching her mom.
Very hard.
So it was a very full weekend. I was trying to record my aunt as she was talking, because half the time she's again speaking in her own dialect mostly in her own dialect, because I don't even think her daughter knew all that she was talking about. So I just have it recorded. I haven't shared it with anybody yet, but
that's nice.
You know, just to have.
I recorded my mom.
Oh yeah.
I recorded her when we knew that we were going to start like hospice and stuff, and she was having a day like the one that you're describing, where it's like she looked beautiful, like and everything sort of just turned after that. But it was like that moment, and I do have that, and I remember she used to love like Cuban music from like the 20s and the 30s.
Mm.
So it reminded her of her childhood, even though she didn't grow up in Cuba, she grew up in Panama. And I even have a video of her singing, you know.
Oh, wow.
And then everything changed. Physically, she was in such a rapid decline,
right,
but lucid enough to refuse leaving, which really was so horrendous. And I'm still traumatized from.
Sure.
That was just. I'm not. This is a joke, but I felt like I'm going to need to order like assorted, like really cute scrubs on Amazon because I'm not qualified to be a nurse. Like it was
right.
Scary. Like the stuff that I was doing, it was just like no. And that's when we had a nurse practitioner come because we knew she needed to be hospitalized because we weren't capable of giving her the care, but she refused.
Oh, wow.
And then I had to scramble and get, and I did, and under 24 hours, find an aide through a friend. I mean, it was going through massive hoops so that she would have care during the day and then rotating with mostly my brother and then my sister when she was mentally stable enough to participate. But it was spotty and then very challenging. But everything kind of turned for the worse. And I'm so glad that before it turned to the nightmare that it ended up being, I have that footage of, you know, and I knew that the nurse practitioner was going to come. So I spent the whole day really just waiting on her hand and foot and really catering to her and just knowing because I thought, well, I didn't realize that she could really go there with the stubbornness, because I knew that the nurse practitioner was going to say, okay, we have to call the ambulance. She needs to be looked at. This is a very dangerous situation, blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't believe that my mother refused. And
wow.
I'm like, does she think I'm going to be here 24/7? You know, I was working. I had my kid, like it was all those, and it just went, and then after that, it just went downhill to this horrific decline until, like, I don't even know how many months, let's say four, it was like four grueling months.
Mm.
Yeah, about four grueling months. And then I don't know what happened, but she told the aide to call the ambulance. So something must have happened. I don't know whether it was her heart or whatever, that she knew she couldn't, you know, run the show anymore. Mm-hmm. She had to submit to her body. And then she passed away like 4 days later.
Wow.
Yeah. On the anniversary of my daughter's birthday. Yay.
Right.
So love that. Yeah. So that's really lovely that you recorded something in a very pure state. That's why it's making me think about that. Like, you know, mm-hmm. with my mother, she looked beautiful. She was in that pure state. She was happy. Of course, she had the handmaiden. Of course, you know. She was really catered to. And I'm very happy that I did that. I'm very happy. And then everything just went, you know, and then the next 4 months was a nightmare. It's really lovely to find those glimpses, because that's what it is. It's a beautiful glimpse. And but I can relate to, you know, your cousin. Fortunately, she's in a facility. We
right.
were in a gothic novel.
Right.
It was terrible. But thank goodness, but I can relate and understand where it's like, it's every day and you're working, you're doing your life, all of that, it does take a toll. It is traumatizing, you know, and I know your cousin, is this the one that was
yeah.
on the phone, Gina?
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a toll, even though there might, again, this is energetic, you know, in how she's presenting herself, she might minimize the toll or whatever, but privately, this is taking a toll.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, major toll. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And for her, she spent the day before visiting, she was in Charleston visiting her father-in-law, who is still living at his house,
mm-hmm.
but is also like 96 years old.
Oh, my God.
Is also going through.
It's so tough.
Yeah, oh. so like that, you know,
that's
both she and her husband are dealing with, you know, an aging,
oh,
elderly,
yeah, it's
parent.
So hard.
You know, like whatever we can do to help. I know it helps. I feel like it helps. On the one hand, it helps to have other people around. But then she also wants to. Let me make sure you all have something to eat. Like, oh, Gina, you know, I know you do so much. So, you know, we can bring the food, or we can treat you, or you know. But she's like, no.
Yeah,
no.
But she's on fumes right now. You know, she's just trying to. I mean, of course, but, and that's what happens. You become so high functioning because it's just so, and so difficult. You know, you become it's a trauma response, and that it's practical. It serves a purpose, and also too, it certainly makes you look at your mortality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a lot. You know.
Yeah. You know, and I've told her that because she's going through stuff of her mom. She's like, she was asking her to kind of look at that, you know, for a while now, you know, to go through, and you know, she never quite got around to doing all that. So my cousin is going through it now. But she, you know, she just looks in the room, and I know she's already overwhelmed, you know, just with everything. And I told her the time before last, I said, you know, if you could use some help, and I know she could, I said, I can certainly plan some time to spend here and help you with this. You know, while we're visiting or, you know, whatever, I know it's a lot, but, you know, if I'm going to spend the night or whatever, then maybe we can make use of that and I can plan out accordingly and just like help you put a little dent in some things every so often. So I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, that's good. That's very helpful. Yeah.
Yeah.
She would appreciate that. No, that's good.
So.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know that when it's time for my parents to pass, unless they've already, you know, somehow miraculously got rid of a bunch of stuff from their house.
No, start doing it now.
I'll be doing
I'm not talking about you and your. I'm not talking about you and your parents, but I mean with your aunts and stuff. Like that's what we saw. Like what time it was.
Mm-hmm.
We slowly, you know, took care of a lot of it. But then after she passed, I think it took like another 3 weeks or something to just finish all of that. But it was a process.
Yeah,
just to start slowly and gradually, but consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since she's not home, like my brother, I have to give him a lot of credit. He did a lot of it. Like, you know, anytime my mother would sleep, then she was asleep, you know?
Yeah. That's exactly what my cousin was starting. She's like, well, you know, she's obviously not going to need these things, you know, like these shoes she's not going to need. And so she's just been trying to sort through it all.
To start, it's therapeutic also, and it's grounding, and you get ahead of it, because sometimes, especially if it's a sudden situation,
mm-hmm.
you know, it happens. I there's so many stories of people, it's like one day to the next, whether it's an accident or a phantom illness or whatever, and that it could take months, especially if they're in a, you know, a big home or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. So to start the steps, I think it's like occupational therapy, you know, for those that are directly affected, like the children of those of the elder parents that are, you know, making their transition. But yeah, you know, she's running the show. The aunt is running the show. But yeah, let's have you, let's pull another message, because the first one was dedicated to Courtney. But let's pull another one. Just and let's do it for just guidance. What do us as a collective, whoever is listening to the show live, or if they're it's downloaded on whatever platform, you're hearing it later. Yeah, I want you to pull a message. So I have it loaded. But this is just guidance. Okay. This is crazy. There's no number with this message. No number. Oh, wow. I love this. There's no number. Here's the message. When you're in alignment with Source, loving your self-acceptance, past issues and button pushers, which is in quotes, button pushers, appear, demonstrating how far you've come. Isn't that perfect? So the contrast appears to show you how far you've come. I'll read it again. When you're in alignment with Source, loving your self-acceptance, past issues and button pushers appear, demonstrating how far you've come. And I love that, because we always say, just when I'm really trying to get my act together, all these other old things come up. Like, how annoying. That's what I, you know what I mean? Like, why mm-hmm. why are you showing up? It's not a family reunion. But this message really explains it. This contrast, the past and the button pushers, the triggers. Button pushers are triggers, right?
Right.
It's showing you how far you've come. It's a great way to look at it, and there's no number. So I know you want this message, so I'm going to.
Yes, thank you. Well.
Yeah. That's really good advice.
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
Crazy. That is.
Yeah, and I've been, like, I'll have dreams, but I can't remember them. But then throughout the day, like, an image will come by, and I'm like, I think that was in my dream. Like, yeah. And I think I'm also working through, like, past issues. In those dreams too.
Of course.
They don't happen. Well, at least I don't remember this morning, but I felt like yesterday morning, right before I woke up, felt like a 2-hour dream in like 30 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't even tell you everybody who was in it. It just felt like there was a lot happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't need to know.
And it's up to me to kind of remember, right? You know, I've tried to just let it go, because I'll wake up and I'll be like, wow, that was crazy. And then I think I'll probably remember it. If I need to, I'll remember it. And then throughout the day, like I said, an image will come up and I'll like,
right.
Oh, yeah,
you'll get snippets of it. Sure.
But yeah, okay. That is a really good message.
Really,
and like I said,
is.
going to that family gathering and seeing,
mm-hmm.
You know, there are three little boys that are there. Two of them are from one cousin, and the other one is from my other cousin. And, you know, they're all playing. There's one's the big brother, and he's a really good big brother. And they all kind of live close to each other, so they see each other fairly regularly. But, like, the middle one, who's he's an only child, he's maybe 4 months older than Isabel.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah. And he's just really, he was really chatty. Like, I had some video of him, you know, he's showing off how he can balance a pillow on his head, you know, and he's like, I held it for 30 minutes. I'm like, you know, like 30 seconds. 30 minutes. Yeah, 30 minutes.
That's cute.
I'm starting to see more and more kids who are around Isabel's age, whether it's like another cousin's
mm-hmm.
kids or
so interesting mm-hmm.
a friend's kids, and they like The one that I remember fairly recently, it wasn't the other weekend, it wasn't this past weekend, but I was at a gathering with my old fraternity, and their younger couple, they showed up. I haven't seen them in a while. They have two kids, and their youngest, I hadn't seen her since I went to a naming ceremony for her about 4 years, and I saw her, and she's like this with everybody, apparently. Like, the new person that walks into the room, she immediately runs and just gives you a big hug. Like, you're like the best thing that's come in. And she does that with pretty much, as people come in, oh, hi, just greets them. So sweet. But I mean, I loved it. I was like, oh my gosh, arms wide open, wants a hug. I pick her up, give her a hug.
Mm-hmm.
Miss this, you know, like, that was really sweet to have. And she was just, we were chatting.
You got the energy you needed.
That
aligned. Yeah. And that's so, yeah, that's beautiful, actually.
Yeah, it was. It was. I was just, she was up to her little antics. She was, you know, parents were like, no, you can't. Don't stop, get off the floor. I'm like, yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. But then to see it with the boys, the youngest, who wasn't balancing a pillow on his head, but he always has a perpetual smile for the most part. And
aww.
It's like a mischievous smile sometimes. Like, it's a smile, but then you can kind of tell, like, he could probably pull a little prank on you, and you'd still love him because he's so cute.
Oh, yes, because they're so cute. They can get away with it.
Right. And he's always had this little grin. I'll have to see if I can find a picture. I'll send it to you. But he has a fascination with the moon, which I love, because
oh, wow.
I do too.
I love that. Yes, we love that.
He looked up in the sky and noticed the moon. It was still early, so it was like late afternoon, but you could see the little sliver of a moon. So every so often he'd look up and he'd point, like, oh, you know, like, he was so fascinated by it, and that made me smile a lot. Like, oh, I love this little boy.
That's good, because you're getting that energetic, like, you know what, any illusion of a deficit or
mm-hmm.
any sense of that, and I say illusion very intentionally, because
mm-hmm.
there's no deficit. What's for you is for you.
Mm-hmm.
You got that joy. You got the, you know, you really remembered the appreciation that you have for your family. You have a massive family,
mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. And you're just allowing what is to be.
Right.
And I would. Garner that you, the hope that there's less of an energetic impact with the bullshit with your brother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just like, you know what? This is your thing. This is your mess. This is his mess.
Mm.
This has very little to do with you.
Mm.
You know, and if you look at the parallel, and I'm sure you have, and I'm sure you guys have had many, many conversations of how an adult will, consciously or unconsciously, it's irrelevant, will use their children as manipulative tools for their narcissism. You know, that has happened, and probably to a certain degree still happens, but time's running out because they're getting older, ex-wife, but it lines up. You know, you've forged this beautiful bond, your niece, and even your brother can't take that away.
Yeah.
He can't touch it.
Right.
And it will line up, because it's going to have to. You know, you share the same parents. Who is this child's grandparents?
Right.
So he can, you know, be in his ivory tower of whatever you want to call it, the lord of the manor, but it doesn't matter, because what's for you will be for you. That's it.
Mm.
And that's okay. And we could, you know, have a sense of impatience or concern or whatever. And yesterday, because I've been going through a very, very dark night of the soul and other things and whatever, and handling it and also showing up for who I need to show up for. And it's a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I keep it moving. I keep it cute because that's who I am. But I was in a place yesterday that I'm like, okay, I got to, and I love these messages. And it's funny because I didn't even use them for myself until like the last year at that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, I can pull these for myself. What's wrong with me? These messages are incredible. They're so good. So I pull them for myself. It's yesterday because I was just asking, I just needed advice. Yesterday was particularly crazy. I had to jump through so many hoops yesterday because I needed to help my older son with something that was very complicated. And, of course, I had my superhero cape at the end of the day. But it was a lot to navigate and just a lot of things happening. But, you know, I really understand that this is the opportunity in my life to really slay those dragons internally. So, and there's been, you know, it's Mercury retrograde, there's lots of delays and all of that. So I'm saying all this because, you know, you might perceive with the situation with your brother or other situation that there is a delay, or maybe we want to call it impatience. I mean, that's chronic. A lot of people are impatient. My students, because they're young, they're so impatient, and I just have to, you know, shut it down, you know?
Right.
So I share this message. The perception of delay isn't permission to despair. Hello. The perception of delay, I know you're going to want me to send this message. The perception of delay isn't permission to despair. It's source's call to calmly forge ahead, guided by inner vision, feeling your way free.
Mm.
And the number was a 233.
Oh.
Right?
All right. That's
and
an eight.
I think that
yeah.
we,
wow.
That's an eight. Hello, right? And I'm like, that's an eight. So we get into this, you know, we get caught up in the cogs and the wheels of thinking like, okay, we screwed up. Why is this not happening when it's supposed to happen? And then you go into despair or irritation or frustration. And it's like, no, you have to go. Is it you have to yield to the contrast so that you, I'll read it again. The perception of delay isn't permission to despair. It's source's call to calmly forge ahead so we don't get caught up in the pressure or the self-judgment or the impatience or the irritation. But it's source's call to calmly forge ahead, guided by inner vision. We can always have our inner vision, feeling your way free, 233. So I'm going to send this to you. And I thought, man, that's some damn good advice. And then I was dealing with a lot of obstacles, and I had to help my son with a lot of crazy paperwork and a lot of stuff and all this crazy stuff, and I had to do it in the morning before work and then after work. It was insane, and there was a deadline and whatever, and I had to really work through the irritation and not pop off at people, whatever, and just really align. That is some of the best advice I could have gotten for the situation. So on that note, I'm going to send this to you, but we'll close up the show and I'll talk with you after. So if any of you guys need to get a hold of us, and happy birthday, Courtney, we love you. Anybody needs to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com. And we are scheduled to be back on the air in a week.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please take very gentle and patient care of yourself and each other. And as always, let the light to the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Bye. Love you.
Bye-bye.
That you like.